This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
So I think in 2017 that team was defined by people don't believe in us, taking a group of players that were maybe cast offs from other teams or maybe written off. They were Bills players but written off, and I think that team, I think anytime you have that, you can go on and do more than people expect. And going back to last year, that was a team that people did not expect us to win the division or go and win 13 or so games, be in the AFC Championship game. I think that says a lot about our staff, number one, and how we develop, but also, you know, what happens when you feel a part of something bigger. That said, I don't think you can live in this underdog mindset, even though, you know, chip on your shoulder, yes, but I don't think you can live in that world, especially when you become good. I think you have to have this internal belief that, yeah, we are good, we are legitimate, and, you know, we'll see where it goes. I think you have to, within that, also be consistent day to day. Knowing if we're favored and all that type of stuff is for the outsiders to look at. But at the end of the day, we know who we are. We know who we're trying to become. And, you know, it's going to be a journey. There's going to be some highs. There's going to be some lows.
Bills head coach Sean McDermott. I love that answer.
Yeah,
I love that answer. You just can't say you're an underdog all the time. We're good. This is paraphrasing there. You know, 2017 and maybe the year they make the AFC Championship game for the first time. Now you live here, and there, to me, there's a point to be made there. Good morning, by the way, Jeremy and Joe. We're live at St. John Fisher. Our last show from here. It's the last practice from Fisher this year, and you know how it works. Like, last year was a year the Bills could kind of dabble in nobody believes in us. Never mind, they were, of course, picked to win the division, second in Super Bowl odds, or third. But they could dabble in it. People think this won't work. And, you know, whatever, that's fine. We if you watch The Last Dance, you watch Michael Jordan find motivation, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I like McDermott saying, like, you can't just really do that every year when you're just consistently good. You kind of have to embrace being that consistently good team.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's what the Bills are, is a consistently good to great team.
Do they also – is it help them not feel the need to search out the, hey, we're underdogs? The Chiefs do this, don't they? They seek it out. Travis Kelce claiming 2 years ago after winning the Super Bowl that nobody believed in us. One of the most insane comments ever made
right.
by an athlete. right. Do the Bills not need it because they have the motivation of they haven't won yet?
Yeah, I mean,
that they've been this good and haven't won. Like, maybe if you have won, because you've achieved it, like, you, maybe you are the ones that need it more. You need to find we're being doubted because we've already done this three times.
Right.
This is Kansas City. So we got to find it somewhere else. The Bills shouldn't need to find it somewhere else.
Well,
because they just haven't – they haven't hoisted it yet.
We made this comparison how many months ago? 4 months ago. And I'll make it again. The Bills are Rory and the Masters. It's not no one thinks you can do it. It's everyone wonders why you haven't.
Yep.
And you actually with Rory for the Masters, and I know golf is different because golf has multiple majors. So we knew Rory was great. He's one of the greatest of all time, and not like top three, top five, but he's an incredible talent, has been forever. And then, well, will he ever get the thing? He's got the thing that guys that are that good should have, and he doesn't have it. And when he finally did it, it was, I mean, whatever, the iconic reaction he had on the green was a person releasing the pressure of doing a thing that they were supposed to have done. And that's what this team is for the Super Bowl. They're supposed to have gone to one. You being this good, the Ravens are this way too right now. Like, who was it, DVOA? Aaron Schatz had this, like the best 4 or 5 year stretch of any team in the history of DVOA are the Bills and Ravens of the last 5 years.
Without making a Super Bowl.
Yeah. Right. That's right. So, like, you know, you're supposed to have done it by now. So that's where the pressure comes, and you're not an underdog. You are a favorite, and got to get there. So, you know, whatever.
The motivation is to not suffer the embarrassment of not going again, to not have that be true, to not have the graphic up on ESPN that gets booed at our draft party of most wins in NFL history over 5 years without making it to a Super Bowl. Like, they don't want that. They don't want that. I don't think they want that on their resume. They don't want to be remembered for that it's all said and done. And when you've won, you don't have to worry about all of that. The pressure for Kansas City and those guys to win it, it's just not the same at all, because they could bow out in the wild card round this year. And what will people say? Like, oh, they were just tired from going every year.
That's right.
They were just exhausted. They ran out of steam because they had gone to the Super Bowl 4 years in a row.
Yep.
Or whatever. Versus this team, it's just like it's a whole different level of criticism and analysis that they will receive because they haven't won it. Not going.
Well,
not going is insane.
Who's ready? Like, if you want to talk about stars aligning and perfect storylines, and every once in a while we like to do that, right? It'll be midway through the season and someone will say, oh, imagine if the Bills could beat this team, then this team, then this team, and then the Super Bowl, they beat this team. It's a perfect revenge tour.
Yeah.
Allow me, if you will, to lay out the perfect finish to, well, the AFC side of the thing. You can put whoever you want in the Super Bowl, because I don't know if there's a storyline on the NFC side that is perfect, but in the AFC, it's this. The AFC Championship game is here in Buffalo.
Yep.
Against the Chiefs. And the game is for the right to go or have them match the team that didn't quite build that stadium, but Highmark is the 90s Bills going to 4 in a row.
Yeah.
This is the Chiefs' attempt to go to 4 in a row. That game is
okay.
The AFC Championship game at Highmark, the last game that would ever be played there, and you would also be defending the honor of the team that played there as the only team to go to 4 straight Super Bowls. Maybe that's not perfect because maybe that's too intense, but really,
yeah,
these Bills would be fighting on behalf of those Bills in the final game of the stadium, not the final regular season game, but the real, honest to goodness, last game. Is that too intense? Are people breathing heavy? Because people have probably already thought of that, and it just hit me for the first time today that could be.
That's your perfect.
Well, I mean, like, in terms of storylines, no, perfect is the Bills win by 78 points and they beat the Dolphins in the AFC Championship game because, I don't know. But, man, like, when you start to piece together what it might look like or put yourself in your seat that day, you know, you're carried right back to it where, the, you know, these seasons, September through December, are about have fun, stay healthy, handle business, have fun. And then in January, it's like, well, it all comes down to this. And I don't know. I mean, you said, like, the Chiefs are tired from going all the time. Are the Bills tired of the same thing, too? Like, that's what David Montgomery said. We're tired of being close. They've done it for 2 years.
Yeah.
The Lions.
I mean, this is not why I think this, but I don't think the Chiefs are getting to 4 in a row. Let's say that. I don't think the Chiefs are getting to 4 in a row.
I don't either.
I think, like, that'd be great. That AFC Championship play out. I don't know that I've ever been as confident in two teams going this far and not hitting a road, a stumble along the way. Like, it is going to be the Bills and the Ravens. I've never been more confident of, like, a matchup that deep. Like, it is going to be the Bills and the Ravens.
Yeah.
Someone's going to knock out, one of the two is going to knock out Kansas City. I don't even know which one. But I just think these two teams are so ready to do it. All this talk is included in that too, I guess. The motivation of not having done it yet. I don't know. The division in the AFC West, I think, is going to be really good compared to past years. I've said this, that I don't. This is why I think the one seed is so important. I don't think the Bills might have to play Kansas City this year. If they get the one seed, did this a month ago, looking at the path of that one seed every year in the last 5 years, the Bills have never had it.
Yeah.
It is so. I don't care about the home field advantage. Give me path of one less game and not having to play both Kansas City and Baltimore. The advantage of not just getting that first win automatically, but getting to play the AFC South in round two.
Yeah.
Which has been like the case for three straight years or three of the last 4 years, whatever it is. I think you might not have to do it. That'd be great. It'd be a storyline. I think if you were to design in a lab the perfect finish to the stadium, you're probably beating both of them somehow, some way. But you're beating Kansas City at home to go to the Super Bowl. That's the fairy tale. But I don't think they're getting there. I think they're playing Baltimore.
Here we go. The hold-in begins. The Bills listing yesterday a number of players missing from practice. It was long. The list was long last week. And after the blue and red, it seems like it got a lot longer. And significant players as well. The Bills are down a lot of receivers. They're down Curtis Samuel, Khalil Shakir, high ankle sprain, which nobody likes to hear those three words together.
Nope.
So It's interesting, how the Cook thing came about. All these injured players, and then they get out to the field, and it's, you know, James Cook's in street clothes too.
Right.
And he's walking around with the head trainer. All right, I wonder what's going on there. Elena Getzenberg, ESPN, asks, hey, no practice?
Right.
And his response was, business.
Right.
So, the hold-in begins.
Yep. Assuming there's no wiggle room on it's definitely a hold-in, right? It's definitely a hold-in. Business couldn't be. I think would we have known or learned that this was true since that, hey, what if business just means the guy's in the final year of his contract and if he's got anything that he's dealing with, he would, I don't know, say that that is business?
Right.
Treat that as business? I tend to think that that's probably not the case, but I guess we could find out for sure from Brandon Bean a little bit later on this morning, so we won't have to wait too long for that. But I've left a little bit of room for business to him means I'm staying healthy.
Could be.
Could be.
Could be that they're
Because how weird would it be to hold in the middle of training camp? How often do you see that as opposed to you're either not there at the beginning of camp or your hold-in starts? Whoever practices in full and is there to show up at the start of everything, mini camp and training camp, and then just randomly, you know, August hits, and in the middle of camp, that's when the decision, I mean, unless there was like some breakdown and contract talks, I guess that could explain it, because otherwise it's strange. It's just not what you typically see from these other situations around the league.
Yeah, guys don't get to camp, practice, and then go away. the Bills have no yesterday at least had no comment on it. You know, we didn't find out until after practice. McDermott could have gotten out ahead of it if he knew.
Yeah.
You know, does practice start and he gets out there and sees what's going on with what James not wearing pads, not wearing a jersey? What's this about? So, I don't know. Is it weird that I had the optimist's take right away, which was maybe they're really close and he saw a bunch of guys get hurt in the last 7 days and thought, all right, now that we're right at the doorstep, I'm going to just wait until this thing is done. And I'm trying to think of examples of that in other situations where, oh, yeah, we're close. I'm just going to make sure I'm not going to go out there and, you know, get a high ankle sprain right before I sign on the dotted line for $30 million guaranteed, blah, blah, blah. That's what I would do, right? I mean, maybe you would not be afraid of injury, but if I was getting closer and closer and closer,
right,
it would be now I have to be more and more and more careful. I'm thinking about a story way back when, I forget which, is Dan, who's the pitcher who got Tommy John right after turning down a contract. Dan somebody. It's in Jeff Passan's book,
Ooh,
The Arm.
Ooh, I don't remember.
Dan played for the Diamondbacks. Dan Heron. Does that sound right? Dan Heron?
Okay.
I don't know. It could be wrong.
Tommy John, though, is very different than, like, high ankle sprain, right? Like,
sure,
it would have
sure.
to be a devastating injury, I would think, to get a contract that was on the table basically thrown out.
Right, right.
Like, does a three-year deal that pays him $12.5 million a year go away if he gets a high ankle sprain tomorrow?
No, but the high ankle sprain is, you know, like Hairston, dodging a bullet.
Right.
Right? With Hairston, we were afraid it was going to be some sort of season-ending ACL. Turns out, oh, it's only LCL. So the Bills have a lot of injuries, and so far they've only had scares. With Cook, again, it's just speculation that, could you be closer? And
right.
there is a report. Tom Pelissero laid that out, that the two sides have been in constant contact and the feeling is not that far apart.
Right. Well, that was the feeling.
Sure. If you're not that far apart, is there one last ditch effort from either side to pull something back? Or I don't know. It's tough to know exactly the inner workings of it. I don't want to profess to know any more than I do because I don't. But I feel like the big story is James Cook not practicing, he's holding in.
Yes. Yeah.
Not that far behind is Tom Pelissero saying they're not far apart.
Right.
Because if they're not far apart, doesn't everybody have to kind of recalibrate your expectation out of this? You might have thought, what's James Cook doing? He's an idiot. He's not going to get anywhere on the Bills. But if they're not that far apart, we don't know what number he's come down to. We don't know what the number of the Bills are offering is. Mm-hmm. But I feel like that's a deal that's going to find its way to getting done.
Maybe. I mean, it would imply something that I have not assumed, which is that there is an active negotiation going on, wouldn't it? That because I have wondered all along if the Bills have wanted to pay him at all. Like, give a look of, hey, we love you, we want to keep you around, and we're willing to offer you this and this, which are almost offers that make it look like you value him on the long term, when in reality your goal is just to get him to play on the final year of the contract. But if you're not close, or if you are close, then that's not what that sounds like. That sounds like you have been in an active negotiation for months.
Which is kind of what Bean sounded like last time he talked.
Right.
He was talking about how if it's not him, it's someone else in the front office. He kind of painted a picture of constant contact.
Right.
And I feel like if you're far apart, you wouldn't have constant contact. So, all right.
Right.
Now you're constantly in contact. Now I've got Tom Pelissero reporting that the two sides are not far apart. So, okay. That to me is, again, not the bigger story. Pelissero's report there, I hadn't heard it until I heard Joe Marino reference it. And then we went looking for it, and there, you know, we found it. It wasn't a tweet. It was just something he said
right.
when updating that Cook was, in fact, not practicing. So, you know, like, I am.
It could be. It really could be either. Wouldn't most take away, though, that if you are not there, something negative has happened? that you either you're not believing that the deal is going to get done, or maybe you were close and then something fell apart at the last second? Because that can happen too. I mean, how often does a hold-in like this mean something positive? I'm not saying it can't be the case, but it would almost imply that maybe they were on the doorstep. I heard, was it Pelissero that said it was fourth and goal at the one?
Yeah.
I mean, one thing about fourth and goal at the one is if you don't get it, turnover. So did he think, all right, here we go, we're about to finalize on this deal, and then something got in the way of that? Like, because that, I feel like something, if you are close, something's got to spark you deciding I'm not practicing, if that right. indeed is what this is. So maybe that could be recovered, because really, that could even be a bad thing. I don't know how the Bills would take that. The Bills have never had that happen to them, have they?
No.
A player deciding I'm sitting out of practice in training camp because of a contract situation. That has never happened to this regime for the Bills. I don't know how they're going to take that. Maybe they were fourth and goal at the one, and then Cook deciding I'm not going to practice. Maybe that backs them up to the seven because they don't like that way of business. So I think it does still kind of leave a lot of this in ambiguity, but I can't. It would be hard for me to believe that him deciding I'm not practicing is a good thing, even if the idea from Pelissero that they were close in the first place is a positive sign. So that's kind of where, like, oh, they were closer than I thought. I might end up back where I was in the first place, which is, okay, I didn't really think they were ever going to be that close. Oh, they were that close. Oh, but now he's not practicing. Oh, I guess I went forward and then right back to maybe where I was in the first place.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if they're not that far apart, again, no one would think that the Bills have come up close to 15, right? This isn't 13 right. versus 15. I don't think it's that. Could it be 11 versus 13? Could it be? I mean, if you're Cook, you're making 5.2 this year, and if your next contract doubles your pay and gets you good guarantees and you're off by 1.5, like maybe the Bills will. That's the other thing about this. Sorry, I'm distracted now here by this one thought, which is, what is the Bills' move to lean on him? There isn't one.
Right.
He leans on them by sitting out. All right, doesn't have to work.
Right.
What's their move? Here's our offer. Oh, you know what? They could say, we're going to pull this offer by the end of the week. That's the kind of thing you could do in a contract. Say, like, listen, here's the latest offer. If you don't accept it by Friday, it's off the table.
Yeah.
Then what? They take it off the table, and he says, all right, I'm holding in.
That could be the case. That could be the case. That's an ultimatum.
Yeah. Right.
I don't know if they typically like to do ultimatums.
Well,
I have no idea.
Deadlines make decisions, right? Deadlines mean you're going to make someone make a decision. So outside of pulling an offer, what do the Bills have that they could lean on Cook for? So it's all very interesting. And is it a big distraction? Sure, I guess. The Bills are missing half their team with knee injuries.
Who's Josh? Who's Josh? He doesn't have his running back right now. He doesn't have, like, five of his receivers.
Yeah.
Christian Wilkerson is getting snaps with Josh.
That's our guy, Christian Wilkerson. So
that's where they're at.
Yep.
It's getting thin.
803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550 to join us. Give us a ring. Quick point on this, though. DJ in Virginia writes in on the chat, first episode of Hard Knocks should be exciting now. This is not the first episode.
I was going to say, this ain't
this happened yesterday, and the first episode airs tomorrow. So this is not on it. There might be some background about how he is here for his contract, and we will know. Well, then the next episode might be more interesting. But, you know, the one that comes out tomorrow is going to be start of camp.
Yeah.
And what? Injuries. It's going to be KJ Hamler is mic'd up. You know.
I think so, right? They have a quick turnaround on those things, but I don't think 2 days of a turnaround. I don't believe. But episode 2, you only got to wait one more week.
That's right.
Man, appointment television. This is going to be weird for me. A show that's on at a certain time, and you've got to watch it right then and there. Game of Thrones, maybe, is the last show that I watched that was like that.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Appointment television. Here we go.
Because Hard Knocks before, I would just watch after the fact.
Yeah.
Like, if I ever watched the Giants one or the Bears one, this feels like 9 o'clock Tuesday. Got to get to it.
Excited.
Yeah.
803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. We've kind of run through some of the potential Cook news and what it could ultimately mean.
It's still, though, he's not okay. He's not there at practice yesterday. Is there anybody that believes he would miss regular season games, though? Anybody? Because I would be floored if he missed regular season time. Like yesterday, of the things that we learned and what happened, I would have more doubt about Khalil Shakir playing week one than I would have about James Cook playing week one. Or not playing week one, I should say. And I think Shakir, 4 to 5 weeks, he played through this injury last year. I would believe he's back by week one, too. I have no belief that Cook would miss games for this.
No, I don't think so either. And does Cook know that? The Bills know that?
Which is kind of what it gets to. It's interesting what the point of deciding now to hold in would really be.
It's for us. It's to let everybody know.
Yeah.
The only reason he would do it would be for us. If these were closed practices, and I guess he could sit out a closed practice, but still, the whole charade or the whole thing is about it's for us.
Right.
I want everybody to know business. We're still in a business negotiation. Yeah, I showed up. I did my part. I've worked out. I've practiced. And I want everyone to remember business.
That I'm still looking for the deal.
Does he come in today in pads or whatever, if they're wearing pads?
Well, he said yesterday that business would be today too.
Yeah.
Right?
Well,
he got asked, will you practice tomorrow? And he said the same thing.
Is his business to now play every other practice?
I mean, like. But at that point, like, what are we doing? Are we playing games at that point?
Well.
Like that's more playing games to play games than you just decide, all right, something happened contract-wise, I'm just not here. Like that's not as much playing games. That's just, this is my decision. I'm trying to get this money. I'm trying to get this deal. I don't think it's happening the way that this is trending. So, all right, I'll be on the sidelines. You let me know when you want to talk. I'm not going to practice Tuesday and Thursday, and just I think that would get really weird if he were to do something like that. But we already kind of are in a place where it's a little weird.
Yeah, a little bit. 803-0550, our phone number, 1-888-550-2550.
Should put a bet up. Does he demand a trade at any point? Because that ends up being what happens to these guys that want contracts.
That's a move.
Isn't that the next negotiating tactic?
Probably.
I don't know what else next would be.
It is.
If he's that desperate for a deal and wants it that badly and the hold-in doesn't work, then take it from who's done it? Miles Garrett's done it. Trey Hendrickson's done it. Micah Parsons has now done it.
We talked a lot about
Terry
Parsons.
Terry McLaurin has done it.
Friday we talked about Parsons, and pretty much as soon as we were off the air, he demands a trade.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you, from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
.503-0550 is the phone number if you would like to get in on the conversation that largely today has centered around James Cook and his hold in beginning yesterday. This is not a piece of the puzzle that I would have forecasted. I thought it was more likely that he would do this holding in right at the outset of camp, but he chose to participate fully after showing up for minicamp and participating in that. So he hasn't been fined at all, and he won't be fined now. The hold in is, you don't get fined for that. He's here, he's been active, and he's reported, but now he's just basically, you know, he's on strike. That's a sloppy way to put it. He's holding in. That's the terminology everyone understands in the league. And boy, we went from, will he come to mandatory minicamp? Sure. Will he come to training camp? Yeah. Will he participate in training camp? Yeah. You know, to where Mike and I are sitting in here going, this is nothing burger, the whole story. I recorded, 10 or 15 minutes with our old buddy Andrew Filippone earlier, on Friday, I guess it was, for a show that I think airs nationally on the FanDuel network on Sunday. And when I saw the news about Cook holding in, I'm just like, oh no, because Andrew asked me about Cook, and I used that phrasing exactly. That's what just tripped the wire. It reminded me that I did it. Nothing burger. Like, it just turned into a non-story. And that's airing somewhere as James Cook is beginning a hold-in. And I'd be like, oh, man, we got tripped. I'm so disappointed. But I would not have expected this. I don't know, you know, what precipitated it. I really think there's a strong chance. I mean, there's a strong chance. Who knows? There's some chance anything could have happened. Even a trade idea, all right? That they're protecting him because he's involved in a return on a trade or something. That's I can't rule that out. I don't know that that's untrue. I kind of doubt it. But anyway, I think the likeliest scenario here is that Cook was either through his own choice or, you know, in concert with his agent. I mean, I think you would want to get some consultation on this and some advisement. Might have thought, and Cook probably wanting to be viewed as a good teammate, right? All the things he said. This decision he made yesterday to begin a hold-in does not, to me, offset everything he said about, you know, appreciating his place here and wanting to be a part of a Super Bowl team and all of that, like be a good teammate, everything. But I think in the situation he was in, not finding satisfaction on a contract extension front from the Bills, I'll bet he wanted to, like, look, if I go in there and say all the right things and do all the right things, maybe that will get them closer to my side of things here. Like, it'll get us closer to the number that we're looking for. And I wondered, as camp was beginning, whether or not the Bills had even held back just a little for a situation like this. Okay, you know what? You're here, good faith. You know, we're willing to go, yeah, I don't know, how much more? Guaranteed money? How much more annual average value? Here, I don't think it would be massive, but I wondered if that could be something that could have been happening. I don't know if it was or wasn't, but I think Cook showed up and was hoping that would jumpstart things and that the team would see fit to get closer to his number, and they'd be in agreement and everything would be fine. And now that has not happened. Here we are, right? We're almost through training camp. We're in the second full week of training camp, and guess what? There's only two full weeks of it. It's over. They play the Giants in a preseason game on Saturday, and then that's it for at least the training camp portion of training camp that is away at camp. They will continue practicing here and working towards their season opener in these preseason games from their home base in Orchard Park. But the St. John Fisher University portion is over. But when you get to the weekend here, I think he probably was hoping that would make it work and they'd find a way to get somewhere on it, and it has not happened. So I don't know what ends up being next for him. This will go on for however many days, maybe multiple days, maybe even weeks. But I still think in the end, I don't expect, if he's not budging substantially off of the numbers he wants, which was a top of the market running back contract, I don't think the Bills are getting really that near a top of market running back contract. I think eventually Cook will just do what he's done so far up until yesterday, which is recognize the position he's in and that the team is holding most of the leverage and just come back and play. It's what I expect will happen. We'll see, That being said, what I expect, I did not expect this yesterday morning, that Cook would begin a hold-in, but he has.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Derek and Zach. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
I'm not sitting here saying you don't pay running backs. I think you just have to find what the sweet spot is. You're paying Josh Allen. You're paying two tackles premium. We're paying a lot of guys on this team. We paid Khalil Shakir. You're paying a lot of guys, so you can't pay everybody. And there's other guys that want to be paid that haven't been paid either. That's sometimes a decision. We've seen, unfortunately, a Tremaine Edmonds have to leave. You name the player, you'd love to keep them all, especially when you draft them like those guys. And like James, we've drafted him, we've developed him, and he's done a great job developing himself. You would love nothing more than to keep him, but I got to make sure it fits under the whole umbrella, not look at each deal in a silo.
Bills general manager Brandon Bean earlier today with Jeremy and Joe. Love that quote from Bean. Fit it under the umbrella, not the silo. Talking about the sweet spot, trying to get for a running back contract, it's probably not going to be that $15 million a year, that price that came up earlier in the offseason, Derek. I mean, you got Saquon, who's at 20.6, McCaffrey, 19, Derrick Henry, 15, Jonathan Taylor, 14. You're getting, I think, towards Josh Jacobs and Aaron Jones, maybe 10 to 11 million.
Right.
I think that's maybe where the Bills would be comfortable going. I do not see the Bills, to be perfectly honest, because I do think they want him here. That's the vibe I got from that interview from Bean, too, is that they do want Cook on the team long term.
Right. Because he's a good player.
But as they said, we want it in the sweet spot, though. I think that sweet spot is 10 to 12 million. I think it's in that window.
I think they have a certain number that they can afford him, and if Cook is going to stay a hard stance on that 15, then they're not going to be able to retain him. And the other part of it is I don't know many teams that would be able or willing to match that. Agency is free agency.
Yeah.
You could get a team to hand out a bunch of dollars for you, but even that seems like a lot.
I wonder if a bad team that just needs a little pop on offense spends big next year. I look at a team like the Tennessee Titans, who have Cam Ward. We'll see what they look like this year. Do they get to free agency and go, you know what, we kind of need help here. He was a big tool for Josh Allen. Maybe he'll help out Ward, in year two. And they splash a little cash. I think that maybe could be the route. But to your point, it's also where I've kind of always pushed back on James Cook getting traded, because I don't find him to be that attractive of a trade piece. I think a lot of teams will look at him and go, cool, so I'm just going to inherit the Bills' problems, and let's be honest, I think there's going to be a lot of teams that will look at his actual snap percentage and go, what will he look like when I do use him more?
Exactly.
Because I'm going to pay him, let's say it, they give him $14 million, 14.5, whatever, he gets close to the 15.
Right.
You're going to use him way more. And it's also why the Bills probably wouldn't want to touch that number, is because now it's, okay, we're giving you that much money. You have to be on the field for all three downs. You have to be our bell cow running back, and it's not really James Cook's MO. There will be teams that look at that, at those stats, and go, so what will you look like? Look at what the Bills, now a decade plus ago, C.J. Spiller.
Yeah.
Great for a season when he didn't touch the ball that much, touches the ball more the next year, and you're like, oh, okay, now I'm starting to see what the player actually is.
Yes, and there are players that they have that there. However, I think it's fair that we ask the question that's been burning today that you put on social media.
Mm-hmm. James Cook, I said it appears to be a holding because we didn't know if he was actually going to be right. In practice for the second day, straight day. It is a holding. He is not practicing for a second straight day. And what is your level of concern, if you have any? 803-0550, the number to call. But let us get connected to our fans, brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. And Brandon tweets in, none, zero. He can sit forever for all I care. He isn't Bijan Robinson or Saquon Barkley. It's a replaceable position. Allen is the only player who gets a blank check. The rest, we can take care of that in the draft/free agency. I think especially for a position like running back, that is the sentiment for most people, I would imagine, is that now that I've got the offensive line worried about, I can take care of him in the draft. It's not a one-for-one, right? If you've got a running back who can't read a hole, Trent Richardson, you're in a bad spot. It doesn't matter how good your offensive line is. It's going to be a bad spot.
Right.
But I do look at a team like Tampa Bay with Bucky Irving. They had Rashad White. He was a pretty good rookie. They brought in Bucky Irving. He's the 1A now.
Yep.
And it wasn't even that long that Rashad White was playing. It wasn't anything like that. It was just Bucky's better. We're going to go to him now.
MJM tweeting in 0%. He'll be ready for games because he knows he needs to have a good season to get paid what he wants. Protecting himself from injury in the preseason is a smart move. This is a nothing burger. Same sentiment about not being worried, but mm-hmm. for very different reasons. And it's kind of the one I'm subscribing to at this point right now is, players are still human beings. And there's this like maybe a little mental block. I don't know. I'm not James Cook. But I would imagine, if it's me, I'm seeing a bunch of my teammates getting hurt and I'm going, this is bad for business. This is bad for me because a lot of players are going down. What if I'm next? Like there's that innate fear that is a human element.
Mm-hmm.
And I would imagine there's a non-zero chance that's in his head of, all right, everyone's getting hurt. I don't know why I would need to do it. Especially I've gotten back into the reps. I've gotten a couple thuds in. I'm okay. I feel comfortable. Now I'll take my time on returning here.
Mm.
Like, I would imagine I'm not playing in that first preseason game anyway. This is the perfect opportunity to do it. We've only got a couple of practices of camp left before we head back to Buffalo. Let's sit out the rest of this, and we can deal with the rest of it going back home.
Right. Let's go to the phones here. JD up with us next. JD, good morning. How are we doing today?
Good. How you guys doing? Love
doing well,
the show.
Doing well. Thank you.
I just want to say, it's interesting. I don't think Cook deserves top dollar mm-hmm. by any means. And you do raise some important points about how much of the load he actually carries. But let me say this. I think running backs are generally a dime a dozen unless you have an elite guy. And I think Cook is that guy. And I think that or one of those guys, and if you look at his speed and his production, if carrying the ball only 13 times in the championship game is sticking in his craw, I don't blame him. Because I believe that if they want to topple the Kansas City Chiefs, it's going to take a big day from James Cook, similar to the way that Terrell Davis helped things along with John Elway.
Mm-hmm, yep.
And I'd love to get your thoughts, but I think this is a very important player. So I hope they find their number. Just a couple more years, three more years, whatever it is. Running back careers are short. But I would not discount that guy's speed and ability to produce. And I think he's a very important guy. And I really do believe that you go over the hump if you make him a priority. I'll get your thoughts off the air.
JD, thanks for the call, man. And
thanks, JD.
And I love the TD comparison there for Elway, because Elway's whole career to start was he was dragging a husk of a franchise.
Right.
They were not a good team. They would have good defenses. They would have some good players. But it was Elway really dragging them across the finish line, only for them to get absolutely destroyed by the NFC teams,
and even
whoever
later,
it is.
Later in his career is when he gets
Davis, TD.
He has Rod Smith, McCaffrey. He finally has pieces that are growing along with him.
Mm-hmm. The Bills may already have, not their version of TD's a 2,000-yard rusher. I don't want to say that. But
right.
They may already have one of their big play guys for Allen. And so I like JD bringing up, like, his speed is key. He is a big player for them. He had 16 touchdowns last year. He was a workhorse at times also for them the last 2 years, where in certain games, when the defense is down, you can do it. They've been allowed to run the ball. But yeah, he's not worth top dollar. And that's where I look at the 10 to 12 million. And JD brings up a great point too. 3 years. Running back careers are not long. He is not one of the physical specimen. Because funny enough, you look at the running back contracts, the big ones, it's Saquon Barkley, 28 at signing.
Yep.
Chris McCaffrey, 27 at signing. Derrick Henry, 31 at signing. They are different. And you know that just from watching them.
Particularly
they are different.
Henry.
Yes. Where everyone else is, you know, Taylor is 24 at signing, but he's kind of the Colts' whole offense. You know, Josh Jacobs at $12 million is 26. Alvin Kamara, somebody as well, is the Saints' whole offense, but 29, 12.2. Aaron Jones at 30 is $10 million. And so I think that is the range. If you're going to sign Cook, if it's 3 years, $30 million, I have zero complaints, Derek. I have absolutely none, because he's one of your few big hitters that can change by the end of this year. Keon Coleman, Dalton Kincaid, hell, Josh Palmer. Someone could emerge as, okay, that's another cog in this offensive skill right. position room that, like, they're a key guy. But for right now, I think it is fair to say it is really just Allen and Cook that are the definitive, you know what you're going to get pretty much every day. And to the AFC Championship point, he was the best player on the field for the Bills offense.
He was the best player on the Bills offense. And there is a lot to it where Cook should be showing his value. He should be wanting to get a little bit more of those carries because the usage is a little bit down. And that also would raise his value if he is able to, on the other side of the coin, show up anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, the workload's higher, but guess what? The numbers stay the same, or the numbers are showing to be better. He can do this. So, yeah, there's a point of that to the call of, like, I would want to lock in a little bit more. I would want to get the football a little bit more because I could get paid more to do it.
He was great, by the way, in the playoffs in general.
Yes.
One of his highest carry numbers for the season, actually, I believe his highest carry number last year was in that wild card game against Denver, 23 attempts, 120 yards and a touchdown. The next week against Baltimore, 17 for 67. He also had three catches for 15 yards. And then the AFC Championship game, 13 for 85 and two touchdowns. He also had three catches off three targets for 49 yards. He had a great playoff run. And I've said it a number of times, and I do mean this. If they don't even need to win the Super Bowl, Derek, if they won the AFC Championship, he is already signed. I think that is definitive.
Correct.
I think they figure out some way to get him signed. He has what should be an iconic historic play in Bills franchise history with his fourth and goal, arm on the ground, trying to reach over for the touchdown. He's got that moment. They would have won the game, right, in the scenario. They win the game, and they go to their first Super Bowl since the 90s. I think you've already got the Super Bowl tax, even if they lose that game, because it would have been you finally got over the hump, and Cook was a major factor of that. He would have been maybe even the major factor of it. Because, again, I think he was the best player on the field that day for their offense. And so maybe that is something, to JD's point, the caller's point, that maybe that's sitting in his craw that he only got 13 attempts that day. Which I think most of us at the time, even, and we didn't even bring this up either,
right?
He didn't even play much on the final drive, if at all, I think.
I do remember there were whispers of, like, maybe he got banged up.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, that's probably like the only sensible way that you could think of why he wasn't on the field on that final drive when he was looking like the best player on the offense.
Yeah.
And it kind of leans into that theory a little bit of like, okay, maybe there was something wrong.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, it's malpractice.
45.2% of the offensive snaps that day. He had 48% of their offensive snaps, you know, total
right.
for the season.
So about on pace.
Yeah.
But sometimes there are games where you lean the hot hand.
Yeah.
And he was absolutely the hot hand that evening in Kansas City. When it comes down to it, though, like the concern, the main question of the day. Again, I'm with the guy that tweeted in MJM on this one. Of like, I'm not worried.
Yeah, because he'll play week one.
He'll play week yeah. one. This is a negotiation tactic. The timing of it is a little reverse from what everyone expects, which is
mm-hmm.
you hold out or hold in to the beginning, and then you eventually back off. That timeline is put on a different sense now of you've shown up, which is probably how the Pelissero report comes in of like they're close.
Yeah.
Because he's shown up. He did his end of the bargain, for example, behind closed doors. We don't know. This is a report. But maybe it is. I showed up. I started practicing. Now I'm going to start to hold in because, like, we're kind of getting into the bitter end of things, maybe. Or this is, I see enough of my players getting hurt. I don't want to be next and lose all negotiation power. I would have nothing. I can't even ask for 10 I get hurt.
When ultimately you barely have any anyways. Because now the Bills have not done this in the Bean window as GM. They've never used the franchise tag with Brandon Bean as general manager. The last time they used it was Cordy Glenn.
And as a matter of fact, it's typically seen as a good faith thing for an organization to not have that sort of scenario play out because franchise tags oftentimes get ugly.
But with that being said, Bills could do that. The Bills could come next offseason, franchise tag him. And then it could get ugly because you're right. It's usually a good faith. I mean, that's why it's almost never used now. And really when it's used is more of a bookmark essentially of like, we're going to get this deal done, but we need to put this down now.
We have other stuff we need to take care of right now. You're still on the docket. Yep. And I need to put this on you so that we can protect ourselves.
Yeah, it's much more of a bookmark of just, we'll get to you. We just got to.
But back in the day, it was almost seen as a sign of disrespect.
Mm-hmm.
And even then, players, it for some players, it still could be seen as that.
Absolutely.
Of like, okay, fine, you're going to pay me for a year, but now what? We're still in the same place. It feels like you're not listening to me.
Right.
And the counter to that is you get paid top five money at your position because of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it does seem to be like one of those like imperfect tactics that you need to use sometimes. I do think that this is an imperfect tactic. It is. The player is here. Again, he got some thuds in. He played. He's got some practices. He was part of the scrimmage. He's going in and getting the live reps. He's not playing in the first preseason game, probably. This is the time to do it. And again, you get done with training camp. You get back home. And you get back to business. Heck, this could be done before Saturday even shows up. Why? Because James Cook has surprised us all throughout.
It is funny. I mean, honestly, like before, if Brandon Bean did not speak this morning with Jeremy and Joe,
mm-hmm.
I would be waiting for the extension because of the Pelissero report yesterday. Now he ultimately was not saying definitively, this is what I'm hearing. He was just kind of laying out, when you see all of this stuff, this maybe is a signal that we're getting close to done. Steve's call in the first hour, I think, was a really good, really poignant point that it actually probably can mean that he's holding out now that the forward momentum is stalled. That now, like, they were making good progress. That's why he was here. That's why they were doing this.
Right. It's all of a sudden, faith. And then now it's, oh, okay, we're further apart than we need to be. Okay, let's get back to the table.
Yeah.
This prompts the negotiation to continue stronger and more focused.
Mm-hmm.
Probably my favorite comment under the tweet today, though, is J-Lo. It's been miserable as a whole. This, along with the injuries, has training camp feeling like a mess so far, snowballing. But Bean knows what he's doing, and I don't anticipate Cook to be a long-term issue one way or another. And I think that is also something that I share the sentiment of.
Mm-hmm.
This has been a miserable training camp if you're watching it from the outside. And Hard Knocks is sitting there with the bull and they're eating. How do the Bills overcome the injuries in training camp? Come on.
And now they got the Cook stuff of him sitting out. And like the storylines kind of write themselves, it's been in, which is good for them.
Kick them out.
Kick them out. It's their fault. Their fault. The devil on Cook's shoulders.
Get him out of here.
It's not even his agent. It's the Hard Knocks producers.
You know what? Hire an umpire for one day just to give the most obnoxious strikeout call. Eject them.
Hard Knocks, by the way, starting tomorrow over on HBO. Tomorrow night, I believe at 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock Eastern. 803-0550, the number two call. Let's go back to the phones. George is on the line. George, how are we doing this morning?
The most obnoxious strikeout call.
George, are you there? George is not there. I think he's got us a little loud on his car. That's okay.
I heard me again. That's
terrifying. We'll hopefully get back to George.
I now understand what most of you think.
But, you know, the miserable stuff is true. And you know, I think the thing with Cook, and Derek, you've been on this a lot today especially, is that like he's subverted expectations at every turn. He has done the thing that maybe most would say he wasn't going to do. So no one, I don't think, is ever worried that he's not going to suit up week one because – to many people that have tweeted and called in as well, is that he needs to have a good year to get paid. Him sitting out is not going to help him.
Yep.
I will also tell some people, too, don't look to Dalvin Cook and say,
this is not the sins of the brother, no.
Well, not even that he didn't get his money. He absolutely did. He got his big payday from the Vikings. His career just kind of, he plateaued.
Torpedoed after that.
Yeah, he got hurt and his numbers weren't great, but he got his money from the Vikings.
You said three words there that matter in this Holden as well. He got hurt.
Yeah.
I think James Cook wants to make sure to avoid that.
Yeah, just avoid that at all costs.
And I think that's what it is. Because, ready? What are the words he keeps saying in there?
Business.
What is his business? Being a productive football player. What can't you do if you're injured? Business.
I mean, it's what we say about Curtis Samuel all the time. Like, and really anybody. Your best ability is your availability. It's an old adage, but it's spot on.
And I do think
it's that where we get nervous about Cole Bishop.
And honestly, like, it's... The other part of this is that it kind of comes back to the vet rest day thing that I brought up with Taron Johnson. Like, what do you have to prove?
Yeah.
Ultimately, what does James Cook have to prove? That is something that could be in his mind right now, too. I know I'm probably the starting running back of the Buffalo Bills if I'm there healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it's a rotation, but I'm still there and I'm getting reps anyway. I've practiced 8 times. I've got my thuds in. I've been back at NFL speed in a training camp. I'm not going in cold.
No, he's not going in cold.
And I can also protect business by sitting out, because I see a lot of my teammates getting banged up right now.
I will say, in terms of what he has to prove,
The
$15 million, but can he do last season again? His touchdown numbers before that were 2 in his rookie year, 2 in his sophomore year, then 16 in his third year.
And how is that getting done in practice?
No, right.
So that's the part I mean of like, what do I have to prove? I know what I am on the depth chart with this Buffalo Bills team.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I'm merely speculating these thoughts. I'm not James Cook, and I will never be able to know the true feelings. But it is something I'm trying to gain the grasp of here, more or less to ease anyone's concerns, if there are any. I don't know if many fans are. I think it's because of the fact that he did show up, and he is now using the only card left in the negotiations while also having shown he does have a dedication to this team.
Yeah.
And I think that's the part. Some might say like it's weird advice from the agent or something like that. And I'm sitting here going, I don't know. I think he might have been doing the best of both worlds. He has shown that he's dedicated to the team. He is getting team reps. He's now still only a hold in, not a hold out. He didn't leave training camp.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a story.
I think we also kind of know, too, that there is no bad blood. I mean, being openly acknowledged, it was a little surprising that they found out just before he didn't practice on Sunday. It does not sound like, though, that tensions are flaring up. That's what's been going on with Washington and Dallas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Maybe this is the annual show every year where we say, should we get rid of the preseason? Really? Should we get rid of it?
We can't get rid of it because the radio industry as a whole, I mean, listen, they've lost the should Pete Rose be in the Hall of Fame mm-hmm. as a topic. Should they pay college athletes?
Yeah, it's gone.
Like the longtime staples of sports radio are getting picked off here. We can't lose.
Pay college players.
Right. We can't lose should we get rid
college
of the preseason.
Playoff. I'm trying to think what they work. Pay college players.
Yeah, what's like the Mount Rushmore of sports radio topics is Pete Rose in the Hall of Fame, paying college athletes, the NFL preseason, and fixing all-star games.
Yeah. that's probably right.
Every year, you know you're going to have those four.
Yeah, that's probably right.
So if you take the preseason from me, no, leave it, right? I mean, people watch it. I saw a thing yesterday at the Hall. This is another every year thing. The ratings at the Hall at the preseason games. The Hall of Fame game did better ratings than every Stanley Cup final game except for two, and every NBA final game this season that wasn't a finals game.
Yeah, I'm not saying because it's bad football. I'm saying because of the roll of the dice that is see if you get through without any injuries.
Yeah,
because you know Richardson. I guess he's not going to miss that much time. It's a dislocated pinky. On a play where he got lit up, and meanwhile, Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow lit up the Eagles.
Yeah.
But I saw, is it two guys whose season ended last night because of ACL injuries? One guy on the Ravens. Like, I didn't get all the way through what happened in the Seahawks-Raiders tie.
Yeah, it was a tie. No, I only saw that Geno Smith got a nice ovation from the Seahawks crowd.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Like, last night made me nervous. Because while we treat Josh the certain way that he should be treated, which is don't play at all, maybe don't play at all, maybe get a couple of snaps. Here's Rashawn Slater. It didn't happen in a preseason game, but the Chargers left tackle the year.
Yeah.
Woof.
Brutal.
Yeah. It's tough. So you are in the time of year where I know you can get hurt during the regular season, but at least those games are meaningful. And if you get hurt when you're playing games that are meaningful, that's just going to be unfortunate. When you get hurt during this stuff, it feels unfortunate and unnecessary. I know the Ravens guy they lost is a sixth-round corner.
Yeah,
but
right.
I learned last night watching the game that the Ravens had 5 sixth-round picks.
Yes, last year. Yep.
5 sixth-round picks. One of them out for the year. So ask one of the other four guys to play corner, I guess. But it just... It's hard not to get nervous about it all because I started to say, we think about Josh in this way. Hey, Josh not playing. Okay, great. All right. Everybody else is going to play a little bit. There are 15 players where if they were out for the year, it would feel like a real big blow. I mean, I don't have to list them because I don't want to exactly tell you who, if they did get hurt, it would be okay.
Right.
But, you know, this is not a team of... There are four superstars that can't get hurt and a lot of other replaceable pieces. The build of this team is a little bit like 1-11th, right? On both sides of the ball and play together. And if your weakest link is your weakest link, like how have they lost the last couple of years? It's a couple linebackers are out and they don't have guys to make up for that. And last year it's Benford goes down. He's one of your stars. But still... I don't know. I'm probably rambling about it all, but I'm just thinking about, man, just get healthy. Shakir got a high ankle sprain at the blue and red.
Yeah.
I don't know how you can avoid it, but I just, whatever. We didn't have a preseason in the COVID year, and the season went off, and it was fine. And people might have said it was bad football at the beginning. They say that every year. So enter my nerves for tomorrow. I'm now nervous.
Well, I think they are a team that, like you said, like I feel like they are capable of overcoming any singular injury. But it's the volume of them. It would be like the linebackers a couple of years ago, the corners. Like if you get two or three at one position group, then that can sink you. But one guy, I think almost anybody on this team, you know, not to say anybody getting injured is okay, kind of like the Chargers yesterday. They lose Rashawn Slater. That's a huge loss for them. They're going to move Joe Alt, the left tackle.
It's huge.
Yeah. But can they overcome that? If it's just that one and the other offensive linemen stay healthy over the course of the year, like I could believe that. But if you told me now that Slater's hurt and I get another injury to a lineman and then another injury to a lineman with the Chargers, I'm like, oh, okay, well, I could sink them. That Herbert's going to be running for his life at that point. But one guy, maybe you can overcome that. The problem for the Bills might be that there are a lot of guys hurt right now. But, you know, luckily, the Shakir injury, the Hairston injury, these guys are expected back by week one. I think Shakir, that's more so true of. So, yeah, it's mostly an exercise for me in let's see what the depth guys look like, the guys that are fighting for roster battles. It's kind of it's the XFL, isn't it? Or the UFL, I should say. Like, tomorrow is the UFL with NFL uniforms on.
Yeah.
Like, these are guys that are not impact players in the NFL. It should be more for them. It should be, you know, what's Summer League in the NBA? Those aren't guys, those are rookies.
But there are some depth guys. Some guys do play, right?
Yeah, but they're the rookie guys, right? Like, it's, you know, it's Cooper Flagg who went number one overall.
Right.
So, yeah, you put your top rookies in, but your good veterans, they don't play in that thing. And that, to me, is kind of the way I think coaches should treat the NFL preseason more and kind of have been, which is this isn't for my 30-year-old stud who's been doing this for 8 years. This is for all my guys battling for roster spots and my rookies that are getting adjusted to the NFL. Like, that should be who it's for and only who it's for.
That said, Dawkins plays.
That they're going to play all of them except for Josh, right?
Right, pretty much.
A little bit.
Right, Dawkins plays, Knox, Kincaid, Palmer. They're all, on the offensive side, they're all playing. I mean, if we're going down the list of who's important, everybody but Josh is going to see action, maybe not James Cook, and maybe not Spencer Brown, right, because of him coming back a little bit late. We'll see about him.
That's why I wonder, like, the starters, what about, like, Terrell Bernard has been missing time?
Yeah, I feel like he should not play.
He's on the list. Is Milano on the list? Is Trey White on the list? Like, I wonder, starters, does that mean all the starters or most of the starters?
The story on both Milano and Trey White, as you pointed out yesterday with Sal, is that they're both playing amazingly. And whatever, especially with Milano, how fast he's playing, I feel like I don't think he needs to get to full speed against the Giants on a Saturday afternoon.
No.
So that's a guy that's been injured a lot the last two seasons. Take him out. I don't want to play him.
Right.
It all makes me nervous. It's all,
I'll be fine.
Because all that can happen is bad stuff. What good can come of the preseason?
What is the best
thing? The good stuff doesn't matter. The bad stuff wrecks your year. What's the reward here, folks? And yet here's Joe Burrow, like, playing and throwing darts to Ja'Marr Chase to prove a point. The Bengals are doing that for narrative.
Right.
It's not a big enough sample to say it's because he doesn't play in the preseason. There are plenty of guys that don't play in the preseason.
Well, they might believe that that's costing them, don't they?
They probably believe it. I bet they believe it.
I bet they believe it, and I bet, you know, maybe they think they'll have more confidence going in to the regular season if they've lit up backups in the preseason, which, you know, they're off to a good start on that. I mean, you could have the best that could happen is you feel great about something individual
and
on Monday. Like, if even if it's Trubisky, if Keon Coleman comes out and catches five passes and one's a long one and the other is a touchdown and he jumps over a guy making a catch, you know, how are you going to feel on Monday? How's everyone going to feel on Monday? Like, oh, Coleman, let's go. It might not even be meaningful, but it'll be about, you know, it's like another episode of Hard Knocks.
Right.
This is just meant to make you feel good, basically.
Right, right.
If it goes well.
But it is fake. And
sure.
It's fake. None of it actually.
They're not running their plays, and no, it's right.
I mean, we don't even get the spot where you go to a game because it's Kids Day and they get to see Josh Allen throw passes. Like, the Bills aren't going to do that this year. So
if Josh walks around the crowd and he with a football and he throws passes back and forth?
It wouldn't shock me at all if he did do that. Like, he should. He probably will. He probably plans to do that, right?
All right. Like, in the stands? I mean, in the stands.
Oh, well.
Go around the stands. Like how Billy Buffalo does. Josh and Billy Buffalo just walking around the stands, shaking hands, kissing babies, throwing balls.
He's going to want to stay on the field where he can get some level of protection and space, personal space.
He's got Billy Buffalo.
Yeah,
protection.
Right. As his muscle?
Yeah.
Yeah, stay away from Josh or else the Buffalo. We'll let the
Buffalo. By the mascot.
But let the Buffalo loose.
Here on One Bills Live, Maddie Glab alongside of Steve Tasker. Our topic for you today is a good question with preseason football right around the corner. Who or what will you have your eye on for Saturday's preseason game against the Giants? I might have my eye on Steve Tasker in the booth because he'll be next to Andrew Catalon, as Catalon will be calling the game. Tasker is going to be our analyst. I'll be on the sidelines. It's going to be fun to get back together with the band.
Yeah, those guys get in tonight. Andrew Catalon, who I've known for over a decade, worked with him at CBS. He's coming in. He's doing the games play by play. We'll have dinner tonight. Production meetings tomorrow, with Sean McDermott over in Buffalo. We'll sit down. We'll
Are
ask.
You guys going to have the Catman on the show tomorrow?
We usually do, but I don't
he
think
has
so.
Has hopped on in the past.
I don't think so. Not tomorrow. We won't. We'll do that probably before
Some
the
point.
Tampa. Well, not even before the Tampa game. We'll be down. I don't know.
Who
no,
knows?
No, he's not coming on.
Sorry.
So, yeah. But we'll have a dinner tonight. We'll have a production meeting tomorrow. We'll get a chance to sit down with Sean McDermott, ask him some off the record stuff.
Yeah.
About the philosophy, how it's going, what is he expecting, and some nitty gritty stuff.
What should we be looking for?
Right. What can he tell us about who's going to play, how they're looking, maybe some background information on how the offense is going, what maybe some if evolution of the offense and defense generally speaking. A lot of stuff. We'll ask him a ton of stuff, and he knows that. We'll just use this common knowledge on the broadcast. It's a really nice chance to sit down and talk with him. The game on Saturday at 1, it just right now, and I don't know, I haven't even checked the weather.
It's supposed to be hot.
It sounds like it's going to be absolutely smoking hot. That's all I can think about. It's just going to be so oppressively hot inside that stadium at 1 o'clock on a Saturday.
Booth.
On Sunday
Stop
at one,
it.
Sunday at one in
I'll be
in
on
High
the
Mark.
Yeah, I get to complain.
That's right.
You don't
carry an umbrella. Sunday at one does not sound hot. Saturday at one sounds hot.
Can we switch the game to Sunday?
Why is that?
Can't you call the shots?
It sounds like Sunday at 1 o'clock does not strike me as a hot day. Saturday at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, it's going to be smoking.
All right, I'll bring my water gun on the sidelines.
That's right.
Get you from the booth.
Get an umbrella so you can have a little shade or something.
Yeah.
It just strikes me, and it's Kids Day.
Bring your water.
Bring your water bottles. Yeah, don't anybody fall out. We had a young kid faint yesterday. They carted him out. He had to he didn't get any water. He didn't drink any water.
Drink your water.
Kids are like that. You got to tell them when to drink. They don't know when they're thirsty.
You got to give them Gatorade. Yeah. Give them the sweet stuff.
But the whole crew tomorrow, we'll be in with Sean McDermott, talk to him before the game. The mock game tomorrow is what they'll go through on the field, which is, it's a lot of fun because as a player, a mock game is this. You don't run any plays. What they do is, you're dressed like us.
Shorts and t-shirts.
Yeah, and it's like, all right, kickoff team, go. Or no, we lose the toss. They defer. We lose the toss. They defer. We're returning the ball, right? Kickoff return team out on the field. So 11 guys better run out on the field, right? So 11 guys run out there, kickoff team. Okay, they count them. Everybody's there. All right, he said, now, so-and-so, so-and-so, and so-and-so are hurt. Who's got them?
Yep.
So you have to know that
sub
if that guy goes down the carry, I got to run out. So those three guys come off, three their backups go in. So you're all set that way. Then it's like, okay, offense, go. So Trubisky, who's starting, and the guys, they'll all go out. There better not be 12 guys
you
in the field, right?
You've got to walk through that stuff.
Yeah, so then they come out. Now, so-and-so and so-and-so got hurt. Who's in? So those guys come out, you know. And, you know, then they go punt team. And then they do the opposite. Now, defense on the field, same thing. So-and-so and so-and-so got hurt. Who's in? They got to know. And then they go through the entire game, like, 2 minute. Who's in on 2 minute offense? Who's in on short yardage? And, you know, cable personnel. You know, Alec Anderson goes out or would go out.
Yep.
You know, so all of that stuff. They'll have all the different personnel combinations. They'll run through them, and then somebody gets hurt. They have to know they go in on that personnel grouping, and that it's fun.
It's extensive. Gotta know your stuff.
It's a little bit.
Because if you don't, there's going to be a problem in game.
Right. Which is what happens in games, in preseason games, notoriously. Yeah. So that's an easy game. It's an easy day. They'll have meetings. They'll have a team meeting. I imagine. I don't know if they're going to. They'll probably let the veterans and everybody stay at home.
Mm-hmm.
They probably won't take them to a hotel.
Yeah.
All the rookies and everything, they're in a hotel. And they'll probably have snacks and maybe a meeting there. But, man, that's it. You got to be. They'll have a deadline. You got to be at the stadium by this time.
Go through all that stuff at the stadium, yeah.
And that's it. That's your only home game walkthrough. That's your only home game rehearsal.
And
you got to know
on the road for 2 weeks in the preseason.
Your pregame. You got to know your pregame routine.
On Saturday.
Where your locker's going to be in the locker room. Most of these guys have no idea what the game day locker room even looks like.
That's why you got the return of the blue and red.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. They'll all know that. I forgot about that.
Double check all
that's,
that good
that's
stuff.
Why they do the blue and red there, mm-hmm. so they can go in.
It's important.
And get, yeah.
Very important.
Yeah.
All right, topic for you. Who or what do you have your eyes on in Saturday's preseason game against the Giants? We're going to go to the phone right now. Rich from Cheektowaga has been hanging on. Rich, what do you got for us?
Hi, Maddie. Hi, Steve. I want to talk about Curtis Samuel. And I know he's a $6 million cap hit this year. Two-part question. If he goes on IR, does that count against the cap? And secondly, is there any possibility we could trade him in a fourth for future considerations to a team that would do that for us? I'd really like to see a young guy like Shavers or somebody playing. That's it for me. I'm going to hang up and listen.
All right. Thanks,
All
Rich.
Right,
if a player goes on IR, it does still count against the team's salary cap. In terms of trying to trade Curtis Samuel, we don't know what's going on behind closed doors.
You can trade anybody at any time if you want.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's been tough. I was talking about it yesterday in practice to one of my coworkers. Curtis Samuel is somebody who popped out at the end of the season, had a great playoff run with the Bills, but we didn't see much of him in season because he was dealing with injuries. You're hoping second year on this team, feeling better about the offense, healthy, doing your thing, building chemistry with Josh Allen during training camp practices, and we really haven't gotten that from Curtis Samuel. He was out there for the beginning of training camp, and then we haven't seen much of him. I think it's an important training camp for Curtis Samuel. I think he needs those reps with Josh Allen. It's a crowded wide receiver room right now as guys are trying to fight for who are going to be the five in or the six in, depending on how many that they keep, but we'll have to keep an eye on it. Sean McDermott was asked about where Curtis Samuel is at in terms of coming back from injury, and McDermott said that he thinks he's making some good progress. So hopefully that means he'll be back out on the field soon enough.
Yeah, it's been a struggle to keep him on the field and healthy. He's been effective when he is on the field. I think that's been one of the frustrating, obviously, one of the frustrating parts about his time here in Buffalo thus far. But I'll say this, when he is on the field, he's a good player, very good player. I don't know if I'd – and you – yeah, for future considerations, yeah, you can trade any guy for future considerations in a bag of footballs or something like that. Future considerations means you're giving him – trading him for nothing and somebody's going to take his salary and that's it. You trade him for nothing, basically. And, yeah, okay, they could do that. But Curtis Samuel, when he's healthy, I mean, people forget because his contributions were really spotty last year. But when he was in there, they were significant. He caught a pass in the Denver game and turned it into a 50-yard touchdown pass because he ran after the catch. They're not going to trade Curtis Samuel for nothing. And I think it will take a lot for one of these younger players. Now, certainly the room's full of guys that are capable, but if they – your best hope for Curtis Samuel not being on the roster is for someone to outplay him. So if you want, he's not going to get traded, and he is a $6 million cap hit. So I would say, if I was you, I say don't hope for a trade. Hope for one of the young guys to emerge and squeeze him off, squeeze him out of the roster.
McDermott said, I feel like Curtis is moving in the right direction. Curtis ran a little bit yesterday, so it sounds like he's feeling more comfortable moving straight ahead. McDermott did say the cutting piece and whatnot is still a work in progress for Samuel, so I don't know for sure. Doesn't have a date in mind, but he's hopeful because Samuel is making some progress.
803-0550 is the phone number. Denny is next up. Hi, Denny. You're on the air here on WGR. Thanks for calling.
Hey, I appreciate you guys taking my call. The only thing that I'm disagreeing with is on the whole Sean McDermott thing. He's not Teflon. I know there's a familiarity with Bean. Obviously, they were together in 2003 with the Carolina Panthers. That team is like a microcosm of that team, except we got a 10 times better quarterback than Cam Newton. There's a lot of familiarity even with Joe Brady. He went to William & Mary. Same thing with McDermott. This team is very similar to the Patriots when they had Brady. They're going to win the division. They're going to make the playoffs. So you can't set the bar there. But the window is closing. I'm going to be honest with you. It reminds me a lot of like the Braves in the 90s, when the Atlanta Braves, when they at least they got one title. They had all those great teams, but they hadn't won one. The same thing with the Yankees. They made the switch from Showalter to Torrey, and they won it all. I'm not sitting there saying that McDermott can't do it, but I think he's the better suited as a defensive coordinator. They had a shot at Bieniemy. I know a lot of people didn't hire Bieniemy. I think he deserved a chance. They didn't even look at him. Sean Payton, they could have had. Jim Harbaugh, they could have had. Ben Johnson, probably one of the best offensive minds in the book. You have a team that can put up 30 to 35 points a game, and that's what it's going to take to beat. I would have at least taken a chance on Bieniemy, because if anybody knows how to beat Andy Reid, it's Eric Bieniemy, because he was right in his right-hand pocket.
About Bieniemy specifically, do you not respect the fact that 32 teams in the league have not hired him? I don't know why, but to me, that's a name to pull that I think would have sounded better 3 or 4 years ago before he got passed over for 40 head coaching jobs.
You're 100% right, but Peyton, Jim Harbaugh, come on, they didn't even consider it. I mean, it's like the guy has got like a blank check. He reminds me of Cashman and Aaron Boone with the Yankees. Now they're not getting rid of him. There's a familiarity, and I'm not saying, I'll be honest with you, Bean is 10 times the GM that McDermott ever is a head coach. McDermott's a defensive coordinator. I think he did wonders with the defense. But I'll be honest with you, when Leslie Frazier didn't return, I swore, I said to all my buddies, I said, Ron Rivera is going to be the next defensive coordinator, because they're all buddies. They all know each other. That's what they're familiar with. I don't think that's what's going to get this team to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I understand. When you use the phrasing window closing, are you referring to the team right now, like the build of the roster, or is that just with McDermott at the helm? Because the window closing sounds like you're calling from a time machine from 2 years ago or even last year, because the roster's been refreshed. Veteran players and leaders, kingpins of the team that McDermott built with Bean, have gone by the wayside. One of them's now come back in the form of Tre'Davious White, but the roster's turned over. They've refreshed. Like, they don't right now have a number one wide receiver. We'll see if one develops from what they've got here, but I don't see a team with a window problem right now at all.
Okay, I'd say 2 more years with McDermott, but even so, what do we have to show for it? Nothing. We haven't even gotten to the Super Bowl. This team, look, they can argue about the 13-second debacle and all that stuff. That's fine. The guy is a great guy. You know, I've seen him. I've actually seen him in the community. He's probably one of the nicest people you ever meet. I just don't think he's the guy that's going to deliver mm-hmm. him to the promised land.
Yeah, I got you. I mean, so far you've been right. I mean, I can't tell you you're wrong, because he's going to have to do it. And I get the impatience. Believe me, I do. My diatribe 10 minutes ago was just about how, and you are not doing this to me. You're not exaggerating everything here. Although the window closing thing was a bit much, and I called you on it, and I think you understand where I'm coming from. I just think, really, what you get when we're so hungry for a championship is that everything that he's done well gets taken for granted and gets undersold, and I just don't think it's fair. So, you know, I'm going to push back.
No, and I appreciate that. I love that, the honest dialogue back and forth. That's why I love your guys' show. But I just think that he's just not the guy. He's Buck Showalter in the Yankees. They got to bring in a guy like Torrey that can sit there and take it to the next level. This team is going to win the Super Bowl. Let me take that back. To win their conference, they need an offensive-minded coach. It's that simple. And he's not that guy. Sorry, they're the 2003 Carolina Panthers. But at least that team got to the Super Bowl. This one hasn't.
Okay, I think you've got your years mixed up because you referenced Cam Newton in 2003, and that's before he was...
15. I think he's thinking 15.
But fine, whatever. Okay. I said my bit on that. 803-0550 is the number. Frank is next up. Hi, Frank. Thanks for calling. You're on WGR.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Great.
I just want to say I don't know what's up with our fans calling for the firing of McDermott, especially after the seasons we've been having. Maybe we just got too spoiled after the run that we had in the 90s and people just want to recreate that, but we didn't get it done there either, so I don't see the point. McDermott is exactly what we have. He breeds good culture, family values. He's a defensive genius. It's just he is not the sole reason, and I think people are just trying to pin it on everything. And that's all I wanted to say, but I also want to leave you with one thing that, because I know Nate Geary is on the call, and he told me a while ago that every time I'm on with the Bulldog that I need to throw you a Waterboy quote. So I'm going to say, he spit in the cooler. Thank you. That is all.
All right. Thanks, Frank. What did you tell Frank?
I'm not sure.
Okay, good. Appreciate the call. Defensive genius. Look, man, the playoff numbers against Kansas City are ghastly. They are.
I feel like I'm being split.
There's no denying
it. By two very left and right takes in the last two calls.
It's it's one of these things that you don't ever have to plan on talking about that just sort of will pop up now and then. And if one of us, in this case it was me, gets really wound up about defending him, it's just, here we go. It's referendum on Sean McDermott as the Bills head coach day again. That doesn't have to continue. I'm just saying, like, that's what's sort of happening in the last 45 minutes.
Listen, the answer to this question I'm about to ask you doesn't matter. Let's start with that. How many Super Bowl appearances would the Bills have if they were in the NFC? Three? Two?
Sure.
So some of it is they are facing a dynasty in the Kansas City Chiefs that might go down as one of the best of this entire era. And then also, it's not just Josh Allen that is not winning a Super Bowl. It's all of the other great quarterbacks in the AFC, including Lamar Jackson and Joe Burrow. So, like, you know, I know Burrow's gotten to one, but they've been, frankly, terrible since they got to that Super Bowl. Like, I would say this. Does it not feel like that head coach, Zach Taylor, if I were to talk about one of these teams with a head coach that deserves to be fired, to me, Zach Taylor's one, and he got to a Super Bowl. So it's not all, I mean, it is. It is about winning the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But if it truly was all about getting to and winning a Super Bowl, and we all agree, I think we all agree, and if you were going to say which of those two coaches deserved to be fired first, would you see anybody? I don't think you find Bengals fans that would defend Zach Taylor. So to me, a little of this, you have to have the context of they are not the Cincinnati Bengals under Marvin Lewis. They aren't winning divisions and losing the wild card round. That's not happening every year. They're not getting to a place where it's so clear what their ceiling is.
Right.
Nobody here, apparently, other than, I think, who was a Chance that called in, that said, you know, their window's closing. Their window's gotten wider in the last 2 years than it was.
Yeah.
We all talked about how aging their roster was with Jordan Poyer and Micah Hyde and these guys that were very clearly at the end of the road with that roster. And then they got, we all thought, worse, and they had their best season. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't think their window's closing. Their window is open as long as Josh Allen is playing at this level, which could be another year. It could be 3, 4, 5 years. I don't know. But they're not the only ones not getting the job done.
Right.
And, you know, Harbaugh's considered a great coach, probably a Hall of Famer. He's not getting it done with a guy that's got two MVPs against the same team. They don't have a Super Bowl appearance under, you know, Lamar Jackson. So, I don't know. It's if it was just the Bills,
yeah,
I would say, all right. And if it was there was four winners in the AFC, if Burrow had a Super Bowl, if Jackson had a Super Bowl, I might say, okay, like everyone else has got theirs. Josh doesn't.
What are we doing?
Shake
here?
It up.
Right.
But it's the Chiefs and everybody else.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.